We are in the season of Hajj, and it is an incredible reminder for all of us about the essence of this religion. What I wanted to share with you is Allah's way of teaching us the importance and the value of Hajj through the Quran itself and the surah. What better surah to go to for that than Suratul Hajj itself? The first step what one has to take really is to understand the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because the entire ritual of Hajj, actually every piece of it, commemorates the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so we're doing tawaf around the Kaaba that was built, the foundations were raised by him along with his son Ismail, إِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. That's what we're doing. When we do the sa'i, we are commemorating the role of our mother as she looked for water. When we're doing the, when we stone in the jamarat, that actually attributes to the journey Ibrahim alayhi salam took to slaughter his son, and Iblis tried to to dissuade him from that decision, and he pelted him 3 times. So every piece, and of course the slaughter itself at the end of it all, when we slaughter the animal, we're actually reliving the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, willing to sacrifice his son Ismail. And that, you know, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, as the Qur'an says, he put his head down and he was ready to slaughter him, and Allah said, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, you've already fulfilled the dream, you don't need to do that. And we actually commemorate his willingness to sacrifice that much for the sake of Allah. So everything we do at the Hajj actually commemorates the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But there's more than that. I think that much everybody here knows, and that's just a simple reminder. But there's more going on here. When Ibrahim alayhi salam finished building this house along with his son Ismail, they made a dua. They made a number of du'as. And one of those prayers was, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That Allah Azza wa Jal send among them the people that are going to inhabit this area. As they're building this Kaaba, it's desolate, there's not much going on there, and they're making dua together. Send a messenger here among the people that are going to be here who will read your book to them. He'll teach them the book and the wisdom. He'll recite your ayat to them. And eventually he'll purify them. And it's interesting that other places in the Qur'an, yuzakihim, the verb comes before. This is the only time in Qur'an, yuzakihim ja'at inda nihaya. The verb comes all the way at the end. Wayuzakihim, he'll purify them. Which is actually a pretty interesting superimposition on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is only at the end of the seerah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam purified the house of Allah with all of the idols and purified the people as a result of removing shirk forever. And as a matter of fact, when he did purify the house of Allah, even that he was fulfilling a sunnah of his father, because the last time you learn of anybody breaking idols is Ibrahim alayhi salam breaking them judhadan into small torn down pieces. So even that fatḥ of Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, was actually revitalizing and revisiting the original legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which by the way, when he did, it's amazing that Allah Azza wa Jal used the word وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. That is the way we taught Ibrahim how to make a case. Ibrahim alayhi salam was different from many other prophets. You don't read about any other prophets that they broke idols. Nuh alayhi salam commented on the idols, but he didn't break them. You have Salih alayhi salam commenting on shirk, but he doesn't break idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam is unique, that he, in order to make a point, he actually destroyed idols. That never happened before. So it's something special that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah called it a hujjah. تِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. That is a special way of making a case to make a point that was exclusively given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And by the way, many things are exclusive to Ibrahim alayhi salam. No other prophet is ever asked to slaughter their own son or leave their own family in the middle of a desert. No other prophet is ever asked to jump into a fire. Musa alayhi salam is not asked to jump into the water and then it parts later on. It parted before and then he went into the water. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's not like the fire was cooled down ahead of time. Jump into it first. It wasn't like the Zamzam was made available first and then say, now you can leave your family here. No, you leave him ahead of time. It wasn't told, don't worry, the knife is not going to cut. No, you cut. You cut. So everything Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to do is much more challenging, actually. All the ibtila'at that Allah put him through. This is why Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. The word hunna in that ayah, which is also in Surah Al-Baqarah, suggests that the things he was asked to do are very big. Because in the Arabic language, you could say فَأَتَمَّهَا. So when you use the pronoun hunna, it's for tafkhim, ta'zeem. It's like these huge things were asked of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he fulfilled all of them. But now let's come back. That one prayer that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, after having made the case to his people, raising his son on Islam, building the foundations of this house, he made a dua that a messenger should come. And that messenger, of course, after thousands of years, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have to understand that the entire seerah of the Messenger of Allah, the entire 23 years of the story of the Quran itself, is actually the answer to the dua of a man thousands of years ago in that place. It's a profound thing to think about, because there are no recording devices. Nobody's writing this down. Nobody's memorizing this dua and passing it on. He's just standing there with his son, just saying, رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. That's all he's saying. And thousands of years later, that dua is answered by Allah Azza wa Jal, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent. And when he is sent, we can never disconnect the seerah of the Messenger of Allah, the life of Allah's Messenger, and the story of this entire Quran. You can never disconnect it from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They're intricately connected. Which is why from the beginning to the end of the seerah, you'll notice one goal. And the goal is to remove shirk from the region of Arabia. And the center of shirk was actually the Kaaba. That same Kaaba that was built by his father. His mission, alayhi salatu wasalam, was to actually restore the masjid that was originally built by his father Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And it is actually when the Kaaba is liberated and shirk is destroyed, Allah will say, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. So now, once the Kaaba is liberated, what's the purpose? What, you know, why has it been liberated? You have to go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam when he built that house. Why did he build this house? What was the purpose of it? Allah Azza wa Jal describes that this place was going to be mathabatan linnas. Mathabatan linnas. Thaba ilayhi ya'ni raja'a ilayhi. And they say, some say jasadan wa qalban. They say, meaning when you go towards something, or you head back towards something physically, or your heart is attached to something. Allah says that the Kaaba was made a mathaba for all people. Jews, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, all of them are supposed to have a soft corner for the Kaaba. But we know physically they don't go there, only the believers go there. So why did Allah say mathabatan linnas, la lil mu'minin, linnasi wa amnan, and a place of peace? This is what I'd like to try and explain today. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Hajj, and Surah Al-Hajj, most of it wasn't even revealed in Medina, most of it was revealed in Mecca, when the Muslims were already oppressed. And Allah was already giving them instructions on how to make Hajj, which was impossible, because the Kaaba was controlled by the Mushrikun, the Quraysh. They would even get up if they would get beat up if they prayed there. And yet Allah is revealing instructions: when you make Hajj, do it this way, this way, this way. Even though it's impossible for them. Why? Because it's Allah's way of saying it's guaranteed you will have this house. I'm just giving you instructions ahead of time. You know, sometimes people oversimplify the life of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and think an ayah was revealed and the Sahaba acted on it right away. A lot of ayat were revealed and it was impossible to act on them. Impossible. Until much later, until when Allah opened the door. Like the ayat of how to perform the Hajj. They couldn't perform the Hajj, but they were revealed much earlier on. But even much earlier on, twice in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells the Muslims, أَطْعِمُ الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ أَطْعِمُ الْقَانِعِ الْمُعْتَرِ. Twice. He says, why should you slaughter the animal when you fulfill the rituals and you sacrifice the animal with the only intention to please Allah? No idols are involved, no shirk is involved. What should happen to the meat of all these animals? What should happen to the sacrificial meat? He says, with it you will feed four groups of people. He mentioned two groups in one ayah, two groups in another ayah. This is essential to understand the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, you will feed those who have trouble in life, al-ba'is. The one who's going through some kind of stress, difficulty, calamity, maybe it's a sickness, maybe they've lost their business, maybe they've lost their home, maybe they're war-torn, maybe they're, you know, they're refugees from another country, something. People that are distressed, you are going to feed them, number one. The second group he mentions is al-faqir. Al-faqir comes from the word faqr in Arabic, which is commonly translated as bankruptcy or poverty. But faqara in Arabic, and tafaqara also, is for the back to be broken. When you have so much burden on your life that your back can't take it anymore and it snaps. People that are crushed under pressure. A faqir could be someone crushed under a loan. They could be crushed under slavery. They could be crushed under, you know, imprisonment or a law case or something like that. People that are just put under a lot of pressure in life are fuqara, actually. People that are in desperate situations are fuqara. Al-ba'is al-faqid, look for those people. Allah didn't even mention so far. By the way, when the Muslims are hearing these ayat, this is in Mecca, they're not thinking of, well, we should find all the Muslim ba'is and all the Muslim faqir. The majority of the people who live around Mecca are actually mushrikun, people who don't believe. When the Quran early on talked about the yatim, when it talked about, you know, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, when it talked about people who get cheated in business, it wasn't talking about Muslims who were cheated in business, or the daughter of a Muslim who's buried alive, or a yatim, an orphan that, of a Muslim family that's not treated well. Allah was talking about the people in need in all of humanity. All of humanity. And so the lesson was being taught to the Muslims that when you worship for the sake of Allah, you are actually going to use this to help people all over the world in need. Al-ba'is al-faqir. Al-qani', the next category was al-qani', and then al-mu'tar. Al-qani' in Arabic actually means الَّذِي لَا يَسْأَلْ قَنَاعَةً. He's actually happy with whatever he's got. He had one bite to eat for 3 days, he still won't ask. He's still happy with whatever he's got. And you gotta go find them, because they're not going to come ask you. You're going to go find who they are, because they have too much self-respect, and you're going to give them. You're going to go out of your way to give them. You know, on the one hand, Allah tells His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, فَأَمَّا السَّائِلْ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Someone who comes and asks you, don't push them away. Don't shrug them, don't be mean to them. This ayah includes the qani'. Like in another place in Al-Baqarah, he says, لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. They don't ask people, they don't wrap themselves like a blanket around you, grab your leg and say, please, 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 give me something. They don't do that. You could tell the bags under their eyes. You could tell how much they've lost weight. There's some problem here. And you should be able to identify those people on your own. This is al-qani'. This is people have gone to, when you're performing the Hajj, and you just did this sacrifice, now you're going to go find those people and give them. And then al-mu'tar. Mu'tar is, you know, from a tafsir point of view, they say there are two origins of it. From ara. Ara means alladhi yas'al min haja. The one who does ask because they're desperate. They're so desperate that it's not easy for any self-respecting human being to beg or to ask. But they got so desperate that they had to ask, take care of them. That's one meaning of it. And the second meaning of ar, if you don't look at it as ara, because some read it al-mu'tari, and some read it al-mu'tar, bishaddir ra. When you read it bishaddir ra, it actually means the scarred one, the injured one, the incapacitated one, the sick one, the disabled one. These are al-mu'tar also. Take care of all of these people. The Muslims at the time, put this in perspective, when these ayat are revealed, the Muslims are the ones getting beat up. The Muslims are the ones that have no power. The Muslims are the people like Bilal and Yasir, and they're the people that are being tortured. They're the people that should be the first recipients of aid. They're the victims. And they're being told, go take care of other victims. The victims are being told, go take care of other victims. This is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are not obsessed with what is happening with us. We are the millah of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. No matter what they do to us, we never forget that Allah sent us here to soften the hearts of humanity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his job was to prove his case. 23 years, he proved his case. He fulfilled the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He showed the promise fulfilled. The house of Allah was cleansed. And when it was cleansed, we received the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift of the victory of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Hajj. The Hajj was actually the victory. Because now you get to do what this house was built for all along. But it's pretty remarkable that the word Hajj has the same Arabic origin as the word hujjah. The word hujjah that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. تِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And that same word is used actually for the ritual that we perform, that you're obligated if you're capable to perform once in your lifetime, called the Hajj. The Arabic word Hajj actually in its essence actually means a case or a proof that you cannot argue against. A definitive case that's made. You know, when there's lawyers that are arguing and somebody gives a proof and the case is closed, done. Guilty as charged. Irrefutable evidence. That's actually called a hujjah. That's called a hujjah. When the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, single-handedly, he by himself was the hujjah of Allah. He was. And he established the case. And in his lifetime, Allah will ask him if he did his job or not. لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. This is at the end of Surah Al-Hajj now. So the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, will be a witness against all of you. He will be a witness because he'll say, I did my job. I made the case. I proved the point. But then Allah doesn't stop there and says, وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So you will all be witnesses against the rest of humanity. What is Islam about? It is about the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And when is that case made? When millions of people every single year go back to that house built by Ibrahim alayhi salam and show their dedication to Allah and remind each other that they're going to stand in front of Allah on Judgment Day one day, but at the same time they remind each other that this religion was one of caring for the rest of humanity. If the tragedy though, before I leave you, the tragedy is what happens with us at Hajj, what we've done with Hajj. We forget being patient and merciful and kind to humanity. We're not even kind to each other. People are pushing and shoving each other to touch the haram, touch the qibla. Fighting each other to stand at the maqam Ibrahim. They're violating the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam just to stand at maqam Ibrahim. The irony of it. This place was supposed to show once and for all that all human beings are equal. And those who come before Allah humbly, their ultimate concern is the rest of humanity. That's what their concern is. And that case is made and nobody argues. No, people see millions of people reliving the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so many people it becomes easy for them to say, La ilaha illallah. That hujjah is established. But unfortunately, what have we done? Unfortunately, even Hajj has become such a personal exercise. It has nothing to do with making a case to the rest of humanity. It has nothing to do with charitability. It has nothing to do with showing them what Islam is about. You know, the reason we wear ihram, because VIPs should wear robes and, you know, royal garments. Millionaires should wear $1 million clothes or thousands of dollars worth of clothes. People that own a lot of jewelry should be able to put their jewelry on. Nobody puts anything on. They're all dressed exactly the same, in the exact same simple garment. Why? Because Allah is demonstrating a scene of Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, it doesn't matter if you were a millionaire or you were a taxi driver or you were homeless, you're all gonna stand naked in front of Allah, human beings. That's all you are. All these roles that we play right now, none of that will matter. Because when we're inside the dirt, we're just dirt. That's all we are. These labels disappear. And we rehearse that when we stand in front of Allah and when we come before Allah saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. What, doesn't it defeat the purpose then when you go there and you have a VIP section and an air-conditioned section and there are people that are standing outside in the sun burning and they don't have food to eat and other people have catered like 20 different kinds of meals and, you know, there are entire sections dedicated to people who paid a little extra and they got a little more convenience. And what have we done? We took that, this entire exercise was done to show that there are no distinctions between humanity. That was the entire point. That was the point. And you don't see a bigger example today of class society than when you go there. You don't see the difference between the classes, which country, how are people with a certain passport treated? How are people with a certain skin color treated? How are people from a certain ethnic background treated as opposed to other people from other ethnic backgrounds? This is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is what we have to show humanity. This is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given victory. It's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And if we can't demonstrate that there, that place was supposed to have a ripple effect, as I conclude. That idea that all human beings are to be treated with dignity should have had a ripple effect and should have affected every satellite location of the Kaaba. Every satellite location of the Kaaba is every masjid. So when inside a masjid, the Pakistanis and the Somalis and the Egyptians and the Algerians and the Syrians and the Moroccans and the Bangladeshis and the Indonesians and the Malaysians and the Turks and the Hispanics and the African Americans are all in their own little corners, and they're more brothers to each other than they are to the other ethnicity, what have we learned from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why even, how dare we say millata abikum Ibrahim? How dare we say that? There's a reason Allah chose that messenger, you know. He didn't stay in one nation. He kept going from nation to nation to nation. He didn't stay in one place. Allah made this man, alayhi salam, a legacy for all of humanity, because he had concern for all humanity. When in the world do you find he is a messenger himself? Angels have come. They've come to destroy another nation, the nation of Lut. Lut alayhi salam should be arguing. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, yujadiluna fi qawmi Lut. He's arguing on behalf of the nation of Lut alayhi salam. This is what our religion is. You know, Islam has many names. Deen al-Haq, al-Islam. And one of its names is Millata Abikum Ibrahim. The religion of your father Ibrahim. That's one of the names of Islam. If we can't emulate the personality and the thought process and the attitude of Ibrahim alayhi salam in our faith, then we don't know what this religion is. We don't know what the legacy of our messenger is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is time that we restore that legacy, first of all, in ourselves, that we truly understand the role of our deen. For the rest of humanity, what this messenger came to do, what the role of that house was. Actually, when somebody thinks about the Kaaba, even if they're non-Muslim, their hearts should soften, because it's these people that are so humble there. They face that place and then they become servants to all of humanity, you know? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ لَمْ يَقُلْ مِنَ النَّاسِ قَالْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best of all people that were brought out for the benefit of people. You're the best nation for the benefit of people, not from the people. We're not the best of all people, we're the best for the people. That's what Allah says. We made it until we're the best. We stop there. Where's the linnas? Where's that? May Allah Azza wa Jal make us truly live the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, especially at this momentous occasion of Hajj. May Allah accept the sacrifices, the financial, physical sacrifices, and may Allah give, you know, healing and complete recovery to those who are sick at the Hajj. May Allah give forgiveness to those who have passed away at this incredible occasion. May Allah grant them all forgiveness. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept the Hajj of all of those that have done it already and those that have not been able to go. May Allah give them the blessed rizq, the clean provision, the purified provision that they can use to go and visit the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal make the Hajj a means of all of our forgiveness and the acceptance of all of our du'as. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.